Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The USFL Gambling Podcast Week 8 Reaction Show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network's brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. And remember, as always, folks, to let it ride.
Football is a unique American experience. A game described by one turn of the century critic as crude and barbaric, with little chance of survival. But survive it did.
Spring football is going to work in America.
You play to win the game. And now it is time for our USFL report.
Boom! And we are back. It is time for our USFL report because we are reacting to week 8, another wild week in the United States Football League. And look, perhaps you're wondering just who the hell you're listening to. My name is Colby Swiggin, Dantabase Dan, a.k.a. Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
I smoke and I drink and I don't have stress and I'm healthy.
And you're nothing but a chameleon, lemon-headed, coward, terrorist pussy. And I'm after you, buddy. You're going to pay for it. Good night.
Good night. No, good morning, good evening, good night. Whatever the fuck you, whatever he says in Truman Show. Whenever you're listening to this, all right? That's the United States Football League. You better believe we're excited. Patty C, just 2 more weeks of the regular season, and everything's up in the air. Yes, everything is up in the air. I am joined by my co-host. Give it up for former JMU Duke defensive back, the burrito-eating, sideline kiss-stealing, wheeling-a-dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hello. Well.
Oh yeah, a little Tecmo Super Bowl, get us all in the right mood. We got the USFL, what, week 9 upon us? This is the week 8 reaction show. Year 2, loving all of this action. And Patty C, we are here to recite all of what happened. I mean, Let's just hop right into it. But I guess before we hop into another solid week, right? Another great week of competition. I love the fact there was no games at filthy Ford Stadium, the worst stadium, and they should never play a football game there. So we didn't get any of that action, which is a win for the fans. All right.
I mean, in the USFL standards, there's 1 9-point game, and even that's a one possession game with a 3-point
three point play. Yeah,
that's a possibility.
I saw RJ Young tweet this. The last 10 games across the United States Football League have been decided by a single digit dating back to May 21st. That's what you're seeing in this league. A lot of great competition. And let's jump into it because the Houston Gamblers were taking on the Pittsburgh Maulers Saturday morning, and it looked like the Pittsburgh Maulers were just the better team for a lot of this game. But guess what? When you score only 6 points in the second half, yes, they were up 13-0. Yes, they were up 13-6 at half. Yes, they were up 16-6 at the end of the third, and they lose the game. They give up 14 in the fourth, and they were, I think, like what, a 40-yard field goal away from Chris Blewett, and blew it. to quote the Pitt Duke game back when Chris Blewett was at the University of Pittsburgh, but he's back. Patty C, I mean, he was good.
What did he hit? Five field goals, and the one that he misses, four field goals, and the one that he misses is the one that everyone's going to remember because it cost him the game.
They had no business losing this game. They had no business. This is a classic Maulers game, right? This sums up their existence since the rebirth of the United States Football League. Not, and we could argue since Mike Rozier, but they should be winning this game. Like we had this on here at the studio. I feel like they definitely dominate a lot of this game from a scoreboard point of view. So, I mean, giving up 14 to the fourth, fucking up this whole game.
Their time of possession, almost 40, 39-47 to Houston's 20-13. They doubled them in time of possession and still had what, 60 more total yards. Still managed
every
to lose
stat
the game.
You can look at. I feel like
got in the red zone 3 times. Houston only once.
Every stat favors the Pittsburgh Maulers. That's part of the fun of these spring leagues is that, you know, sometimes those outliers, it just doesn't stack up. Now this game had 0 turnovers, which was shocking. It almost makes it even harder to lose. You would think like before you'd be like, well, you know, you win the yardage battle, you win every other step, but guess what? You turn the ball over 3 times. No, this was dead even. This was even more confusing. But the Gamblers find a way to get it done. And here the Maulers are 40 minutes time of possession, loss, up 90% of the game, loss. Does this, you know what's crazy? And stacking the money green, it was here in the SGPN office with me today. And we were talking about the USFL, and he goes, you know what's crazy? I know we gave out that future for the Maulers after week two. He's like,
they're still alive.
They're very much alive because the North is a shit show, but also like they don't look that bad. It's not like a year ago with Kirby Wilson where they look terrible. Their
offense still does. The defense looks great still.
Yes. Well, the offense was better than the Gamblers' offense, which we praise at times. The stats are telling us their offense is better than the Gamblers' offense.
It's true. When you have Troy Williams going 20 of 26, 77% completion percentage, you take it.
I don't understand.
But they just don't have a game break. I mean, Henny didn't get off three. He's their real game breaker. I guess you could say Simmons in the kick return game, but you know, Bailey Gaither's not really one. Madre London, no.
No. Timeout. Why do they not? Madre London had 8 for 41, 5.1 yards a rush. Why the fuck is Garrett Groshek getting 11 carries? Somebody explain it to me. This is gotta be racism. All right. No, I'm joking.
They're super just conservative on offense, and they try and get cute because I don't know why. I mean, I guess this happens if your identity as a team, and this seems like a Pittsburgh thing to do, is to slam the ball, right? Guess what? Teams can adjust to this, right? You're not Ohio State. You don't just have bigger guys that you can run the ball down their throat. It's an even league. You have to have some balance if you're going to, and be able to throw. Now, 20 for 26, you would think would open up the run game a little bit, But it didn't.
Well, they didn't. I don't understand why you wouldn't commit. I've wondered this for the past 2 years, so maybe it's me. I think Madre London's way better than any running back they have. And yet, yes. Groshek, 11 carries, 22 yards.
I feel like that's a bit of an outlier, but that is a lot of carries for a fullback in a game.
I just don't understand it. I want to talk more about it, but I got to get us paid. I want to tell you that the USFL Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Edge Boost. Yes, Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be extremely valuable. Of you know, that's an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. You can get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. Your wife's not going to be looking at your charge, you know, double down on some of maybe a favorite bet you like, create an awesome middle or even hedge, which we're against, but you know, it's pretty gross. Edge Boost also isn't some sleazy loan shark. All right. This is not Jimmy two times up the road with the lead pipe in the parking lot. This is just Edge Boost. All right. They're not going to charge any interest. So you're good. All right. You are very good. And I really believe it's like, I mean, to not have any interest, unbelievable. I never heard of anything like that. Edge Boost can also be a part of a responsible gambling plan. If you, you know, as you can set up daily, weekly, monthly limits across your betting accounts, all in one place. Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right. We are back on the USFL Gambling Podcast. And I mean, here we are. The Gamblers. So right now, Patty C, if the season ended, we had no change from a week ago. It's the same four teams. But
you know what's great about the end of this?
What's that?
In both divisions, all the teams are 2-2 in division play. So, you know, it's not even like anyone has a tiebreaker edge. It's going to come down to the last week of the season for sure.
Well, I mean, you got right now it would be Stars Panthers, but once again, I think the Panthers play the Generals. I think everyone plays each other. Yeah, I think you're right. And then you have so right now it would be Stars Panthers in, Stallion Showboats in, but everybody alive. Every game matters. It just means more in the USFL, Patty C. let's talk about, well, I mean, look, the Gamblers won, so they had to do what they had to do. But yet the other teams in their division won as well. So they didn't gain that game that they think, you know, perhaps that they were going to get. The under did cash for us. The Maulers are a fucking under machine. So there is that as the Pittsburgh Maulers, I want to say all but one week.
Under.
Yes. Have hit the under. They are a fucking machine. Wait. Last week.
They went off 1 week, right? They 37-31 game a couple weeks ago.
The week seven. No, it was week seven. Yeah. Week seven is the one game that did not hit the over. And that was like kick returns left and right. So let's hop on over and talk about this. Was the game of the week. Probably, I actually think maybe the game of the year in the USFL so far.
Yeah. You're talking this was phenomenal.
Philadelphia Stars, Birmingham Stallions. I had the Stars plus the points. I also had them on the money line. So I hit on the
points.
on I hit on the Maulers.
Or the cover, right?
Well, Mauler, we both hit on the Maulers, but then we hit on the Stars plus the points. But I did take a Philadelphia Stars money line play, which should have hit. They had them at 4th and 8. They had the Stallions at 4th and 8 or 4th and 9 at like the opposing 40 yard line. So in Stars territory. So you're thinking, hey, this is it. There's only like 30 seconds left, you know, and they needed. I think it was at the time before the touchdown. I think it was, they needed 7, right? They needed 7.
They were down
field goal. Was it 24?
They were down 20-24.
Yeah. So they had to score a touchdown, and Alex Magot, who might I add, probably right now, if you asked old Pick Dundee, who's your vote for USFL MVP?
I don't think there's any question.
Well, I mean, you can make a case the Philadelphia Stars kicker Aguilar, who's a fucking beast, could be the first guy since Mark Moseley. I also think Mark Thompson, since and you might even be able to talk yourself into if New Orleans ends up in the playoffs, McLeod Bethel Thompson, because he's leading the league in passing. Or should we make the case for Lavonte Taylor, the starting corner for the Michigan Panthers, who hasn't given up a touchdown all year?
Nice, dude. The Panthers have some defensive studs,
dude. They drive me crazy.
Speaks and Taylor.
Well, hold on. I mean, hold on. We'll get to that. Let's talk Stars Stallions, because the Stars are now 4-4. They lose in heartbreaking fashion. But this is a game. The Stars were up 14-7 at the half. They were up at the end of the third, and in the fourth, the Stallions and Skip Holt score 17 in the fourth. Unbelievable comeback. They had 429 yards of offense, 7.4 yards of play. Meanwhile, the Stars at 349, but you know, you felt like the Stars kind of had this game. They let them off the hook in a way.
A bit. I would definitely agree with that. I mean, talk about a much more competitive time of possession battle. 16 second advantage for Birmingham, 29:52 to 30:08. So really competitive in a lot of statistical measures. And you're right. I think the Stars, if anything, the Stars showed me that they are easily the best team in the North, and really have to be taken seriously for the Liberty Cup.
The Freedom Cup. Liberty Cup too, at the Liberty Bowl. But look, Alex Magot, CJ Marable had 2 fumbles that they lost. That was part of the Stars getting up on that. So the stats can be a little misleading here, because you think, oh, well, you know, the Stallions outgained them. They deserve to win the game. Well, the Stars got a big lead, so they got a little more conservative when they got those 2 fumbles. But Magot just battled back like a seasoned vet. I wouldn't mind if this was a rematch, if we ended up with the Freedom Cup, same 2 teams. Sign me up for
the game's anything like this.
Yeah.
One thing that I saw that really impressed me, that makes me think Philadelphia, obviously, I mean, the game itself, watching it, but the specific aspect of the game, it seemed like Birmingham was sending the blitz constantly and Cookus was chewing it. You know, he would just, it was Tom Brady-esque. I hate to say that. I mean, at the USFL level, I mean, that, and that's really the, what makes an offense go when they're sending their package and you can handle their blitz and pick them apart with it. Then they can't do that. Then they have to drop in coverage, and then you're at the advantage, you know, then you can be aggressive and they have to be. And then, you know, that offense, I'm confident in it moving forward.
Yeah. That game was awesome. That game was the game of the season to me. Just a very fun back and forth game. Both teams looking the part, looking like they have championship pedigree. I know you could say, well, the Stars are just 4-4. They're 500, Colby. I trust them as a good team.
Yeah.
I trust them
after
this
game.
Right. Yeah.
They look like they've come into form.
So the Stallions still keep a game lead. They're the best record. Skip Holtz looking for back-to-back championships, Patty C. Do we have a Philadelphia Birmingham rivalry? Yeah. Stemming. I think we may.
Is Philadelphia going to get to their 15th championship game in 3 years in the USFL?
Yeah.
Feel like
Look, you
have
can't
they been
have
to every USFL championship so far.
Yes, you cannot have a USFL season without a Philadelphia Stars appearance in the Freedom Cup. Now, if they had won this is why it's a huge loss for the Stars. Had they won this, they clinched a playoff spot. Now they still have their work cut out for them.
I feel like they're still in a pretty good spot here.
True. But I mean, look, they lost with 30 seconds left in this game, in a game they were winning the entire game. So it's a little bit of heartbreak.
They would be in.
Little bit of heartbreak there. And meanwhile, the Stallions, you know, what's crazy is as good as the Stallions are playing right now, they still could miss the playoffs. They are just one game back from missing the playoffs. Isn't that crazy?
That's unbelievable. Maybe two game, but no, you're right. If they lose and then the tiebreakers don't go their way, which, you know, I don't know what the USFL tiebreaker is. If it's point advantage or point differential, they're in a pretty good spot. Whereas the other three teams are all deadlocked. That division race.
They could lose both games, and the other teams could, like, so in week 9, Birmingham plays the Houston Gamblers. Well, if Houston wins, they'll have the same record as Birmingham, right?
Yeah.
Well, then in week 10, assuming that Memphis beats New Orleans, which Memphis had the biggest win streak in USFL this year right now, currently a part of, Memphis would host Birmingham. And if they win, Birmingham's out.
That's true. That is true. Or if New Orleans, I'm sure, could find their way into it.
Everyone's alive.
Yeah.
Everyone's alive. Let's talk about the Sunday games, the Memphis Showboats. Man, I hate watching the New Jersey Generals this year.
It's tough.
Score is not a good representative of what this game was.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is. The time of possession, again, this time even even worse than in the Houston.
They drive me 41-19. They drive me crazy. They get into the red zone like early on, pick, right? I mean, shout out. I know NC Nick texted us during the game saying Memphis Showboats, they get their arms up and they block. They bat down so many passes.
Crap. Yeah. It's like and the interception that they got deep in New Jersey's territory is because the linebacker jumped up and snagged it out of a passing lane. It's like that must be something they practice.
Dude, you know, the Showboats ran out the clock with like a 50 or 60 yard run, right? Had that run not happened, this was an even game yardage wise, right? Like as far as yardage, I mean, yards per play, the Generals were 5.6 compared to 4.5 for the Showboats. The Carnell Lake's defense is incredible. I still have questions. I know that run kind of changed the rushing stats for the Showboats because the whole game it was like at 88 yards or something like that. And then they broke the long one with 10 seconds left. You know what I mean?
With White.
Yeah. But
46 yard run there.
Yeah. At 3.2 yards a rush. And if you take away that 46 yard run, it would be a lot less.
That put him? Yeah. If you take that away, then you got 45 rushes for 102 yards.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the barely
problems
over 2 yards
are still there. I'm telling you, I watched this whole game. Now I'll say this. The Showboats deserve to win this game. They were the better team, but the Generals shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah. The narrative continues to repeat from week to week. And it's just like, it's pretty obvious. I mean, at least they gave Prukop more burn.
Dude, Prukop, this week. Prukop looks like, okay, he had that one terrible interception in the red zone, which by the way, would have changed the whole fucking game because they would have been up early. Right. He had 76 yards rushing, 12.7 yards a rush. I'm sitting there watching him play and I go, this guy could be an all pro in these spring leagues. I really believe that.
He's good. He's an athlete. Yeah.
Dude, they need, like, Riley's not using them right now. They need to do more option read with them. They should look at Alex McGough and model Prokop's game after that because it's similar.
He's like a poor man's McGough, but barely a poor man's McGough. He's got, you know, good athlete. I mean, McGough, I think it's actually kind of special, but Prokop looked good. Prokop kind of jumped off screen.
Dude, their leading receiver was Darius Victor with 6 catches for 39 yards. They got to stretch the ball down the field more.
Yeah.
And to me, like, dude, if you watch this game, you have the interception, which was a terrible interception, right? Prokop just did not see the linebacker. But then you have the missed field goals. All right. And the fumble. Generals fumble on a kick return, right? Yeah. Early in the game.
Is that a Warren?
Yeah. And he almost fumbled a second time, but then you have, then you have the missed field goals. They missed a chip shot there. Right. And you're sitting there saying if they were able to capitalize, if they did not shoot themselves in the foot, I actually do believe they win this game. I don't think it was like you watch this game and like, oh, Memphis is clearly the better team. Memphis ended up getting the lead because of those plays and they protected it. So you can deduce from that, that, hey, Memphis kind of had game control, but I kind of think the Generals shot themselves in the foot, just like we've seen every other week. And they should be able to win some of these games. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I think you know, I hate to put it on Riley, but
it is too much toying around with your damn quarterbacks. This is a perfect metaphor here for this Todd Haley. I talk a lot of shit about Todd Haley, but he's got the biggest win streak in the USFL. Carnell Lake's getting it done, and I can admire the fact that he started Brady White early in the season. He went to Cole Kelly, and Cole Kelly isn't setting the world on fire by any means. But
he had touchdowns and one interception, so. Not a Hall of Fame stat line there,
but the offense runs smooth through him. Now it's not a good offense, but I'm saying though, is we know what we're getting with the Generals. He switches quarterbacks every fucking two drives. I feel like you're like, well, who's in now? And then the rhythm of the team, like if they went with Prokop the whole season or DeAndre Johnson the whole season, you stick to option read stuff. You do the same stuff over and over and over. You become better at it.
Yeah, and develop play action off of it. And yeah, you have the players to have an explosive offense, and they go in spurts.
They don't have an identity. They don't have an identity to me. Like they're just, oh, this week we might try this. Yeah. Right. And it's very frustrating. I took the Generals. I lost on this play. And you know, it's very frustrating. Very frustrating. The turnovers continue to be a big issue for them.
You're a Generals fan.
I am a Generals fan. But not anymore. Not when Kyle LaLetta cheese is being thrown out there. And then you have this was another sneaky good game. The Michigan Panthers and the New Orleans Breakers, and the Panthers, these Northern teams are frustrating because short of the Stars, I feel like all three of those other teams, the Maulers, the Panthers, and the Generals, they just love to shoot themselves in the foot. You know what I mean? Like all three of them, like they struggle on offense to me. All three, like I'm actually kind of sold on all three defenses. Say the truth. Like I actually think all three defenses, I go, hey, they're not bad. And I know you were touching on this earlier. You like some of these Michigan defensive players, right?
Yeah, I mean, Ginda is what, second in the league in tackles and leading the league in interceptions. That could be defensive MVP. You know, Speaks is leading the league in sacks still. Taylor, you said,
yeah, hasn't gave up a touchdown all year. Absolutely crazy. And Michigan is a strange team. Once again, missed field goals come to mind. They were in this game. The Josh Love interception I thought was bad. Reggie Corbin actually struck. I thought he would have more success running the ball. My DFS play was terrible there. And once again, I think the story was that the interception, a timely interception. Love also fumbled. And then you have the missed field goals. And I think that does you in. They're so critical in these leagues because these games are all one score games.
The kickers are super, super critical.
Which is why the Stars are a threat to win the championship because their kicker is a fucking machine. And then and then you got the Breakers get their first win in a long time, but they still McLeod Bethel Thompson, 34 passes. Now he did light it up for 328, almost 10 yards of completion, but two picks, and one of them was almost a pick six. Their ground game has been ghost grounded ever since like week four. Yeah. Wes Hills, 23 rushes, 36 yards. 1.6 yards a carry and a score.
Not cutting it.
I mean, Johnny Dixon DFS play, by the way, 9 for 136 and 2 touchdowns, but man,
37 DFS points by himself,
dude. This was about the turnovers and this was about missed field goals. I actually believe these teams are flat out like pretty equal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't think they were just like the way better team. If you watch this game, you would say, you know, I guess New Orleans controlled it almost like it's kind of like the Showboats game. They controlled the game as far as a lead point of view. I feel like at least the second half, but man, I had a hard time.
I mean, New Orleans jumped out super early. I mean, I thought I was looking really smart when I said, you know, New Orleans was going to cover. What was the spread on? Was that 3.5?
They covered by a half a point. Any of those field goals go in and boom. But
that cover is gone. When they were up 21-0, it was feeling good. But after that, Michigan closed the gapping, kind of controlled the game thereafter for 2.5 quarters. So it was just a really bad start to the second quarter for Michigan that killed them. But yeah, I don't see a huge difference in those two teams. I think the Breakers are a more reliable team in the same mold as Memphis in terms of like, they're going to do what they're going to do and they're going to do it pretty well. And, you know, they're going to be consistent and you have to you have to be consistent with them. And the Panthers aren't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They've been a mess all year. You know what it is? Mike Nolan's got to go back to the shirt and tie. I was thinking about that. That's the play. That's the play. He should come out for this week. Suit and tie. Not, did I say shirt and tie? I meant suit and tie. And that'd be great if he's just wearing like a fucking
wife beater and a tie.
Yeah, there we go. but that's what it is. That's what he's got to be. That was his calling with when he was coaching in the NFL. He's got to go back to it, folks. I want to tell you that the USFL Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Holy hell. Plus, you win that, you start your own spring league. Plus, plenty of ways to win with NHL, MLB, NBA, and all their player prop parlays. They're a ton of fun. You got to hop on over there and do that. Check them out. Head over to underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com. Promo code SGPN. Patty C, I know we're going to record on Thursday our pick show with NC Nick, and we'll go through our power rankings, but I want to talk a little bit about, you know, this week that we have in front of us here Saturday. I'm not going to ask you the plays as far as that, but I'm just curious which games I want your pecking order on the games you find most exciting. So Saturday, 9 a.m. we got the Michigan Panthers heading to Canton, Ohio to take on the Pittsburgh Maulers.
This is impossible to choose, by the way, because all of these games have playoff implications.
Yes, like it's this is why it's must watch. This is why it's great. Fox, 9 a.m. on the West, noon on the East. You get Panthers, Maulers, and Canton.
And they're all on network television this week.
Yes. Then you jump over to NBC at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern at the Liberty Bowl. New Orleans and Memphis, critical game. Winner will have an inside track on the playoffs. That game's at noon. Then on Sunday on NBC, the Birmingham Stallions taking on the Houston Gamblers. I believe the Gamblers beat them the first time, right? I'm trying to remember. I thought they did. Yeah, I think they did. So the Gamblers would get the tiebreaker. This is a huge game. Because the Gamblers
beat the Stallions the first time around.
Yeah, I thought so. Right, I gotta double check that. I thought they did with Terry Wilson.
I don't think they've played yet. No, they did, and you're right. Houston won that.
Yes. So here's why it's huge. If they win this game, and they would have the same record as
and a 2-0 head to head.
Yes. Yeah. Gigantic game. I actually think that one might be the biggest, because even if they win, I think you're going to have a three-way tie at some point in the South, heading into week 10. So I think that one's probably the biggest game that we have going on Sunday on NBC at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 o'clock Eastern, and then the nightcap, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock, the Philadelphia Stars, the New Jersey Generals, a rematch from the playoffs last year. Huge implications in this one, as if maybe Mike Riley found something. If I'm Mike Riley right now, Dakota Pro Cup, the whole game, you don't see. Yeah. We know DeAndre Johnson's dinged up. He's already you know, out of the equation. Do not put in Kyle Lauletta Cheese or Eric Berriere. Do not. Just go Pro Cup all game. Please listen to me.
Who's the Georgia corner that's on New Jersey? He played an excellent game. I forget his name.
Oh, but Daniel.
He really jumped out as having great coverage skills. Maybe he could handle Corey Coleman, you know, in a man-to-man situation, and maybe they don't have to blitz. Maybe they can just cover the Stars' passing game, and then give. Do you know anything about New Jersey's pass rush? Do you think that's
Toby Johnson, another kid from Georgia? Well, he's not a kid anymore. He was in the NFL for a while.
Grown beast.
Yes, and that guy is a four. I like also the defensive tackle. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but he's good. So I think that's going to be an interesting game. But just don't overthink it, Mike Riley. Stick to your QB. Yeah. Look at what we have.
You found your guy.
Jamar Smith got injured game one, right?
Yeah.
Magoo has played the whole season now.
Yeah.
Continuity. Case Kukis, the one seed in the North, been the starter all year. Continuity. The other winning teams, Cole Kelly, ever since what, week two? Continuity.
Worked out the kinks.
McLeod Bethel Thompson, the starter all year long. Continuity. All right. Yeah. Those are all the teams with the winning record except for the Houston Gamblers. They're the one kind of anomaly, but they still had Bahar for most of the year, except one game where Terry Wilson got the start. So
and was
I do
that because
believe,
Bahar was hurt? Or
yes, he was hurt. So
it's not even like they were playing around with it. They just didn't have it.
Yeah. So all your teams that are 500 or above have had continuity and had a true identity as who is our starting quarterback and what do we have going forward. You look at the teams that have been losing. Yes, it seems like Josh Love has actually had continuity. I feel like that's the only losing team that's had continuity. You look at New Jersey, it's been a complete mess. Pittsburgh has had different quarterbacks as well. It seems like they found Troy Williams, but they didn't start out with him. So,
well, Carson Strong was in there as the,
you're right. He played some
leading passer for two games. So I think they have played around a little bit. I don't know if it's because Love would get dinged up mid game, but that's certainly not continuity when you have a leading passer, different than your starter for two out of your, you know, seven game or eight games so far.
So that's
a great point.
Yeah, no, it really is. And so to me, the biggest game I actually think is Birmingham Houston. What do you think the number one biggest game is?
Well, with that nugget about Birmingham, you know, owning a tiebreaker at that point, who knows if that could ultimately be the thing that knocks Birmingham out of the playoffs, you know? And so that is a massive game and a thing to look out for. I would say in terms of the evenness of the matchup and the direct impact on who's going to make the playoffs and the other team not making the playoffs, you got to go Breakers Showboats just because they have the same record. But all of them are about equal.
Yeah.
In terms of importance.
It's going to be a great week of United States football action. Get over to NBC and Fox and watch them. And get on over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review, folks. What are you doing? Please. It's been a fun year all year. The road to the Freedom Cup doesn't stop here, but we do need you to get on over to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. Tell us that you're fond of us, or maybe you think I'm an idiot, but just give us a 5-star review. All right. You can even say Dundee's an idiot, but 5 stars. All right. I'm very happy with that.
You know, watching the baseball, college baseball playoff tournament right now,
mm-hmm.
And seeing the double elimination format that they have going on, we're kind of in the double elimination, the first round of a double an elimination tournament over the next two rounds. This is like the regionals stage for the USFL. You know, you get through these next 2 weeks with two wins, you're going on. You know, you go 1-1, then maybe. If you go 0-2, you're out.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, folks. Subscribe to the College Baseball Experience too, as that season is heating up. Your Wahoo's got lucky as shit, bunch of pussies.
Two for two against your ECU Pirates.
Yeah, they got gifted the Charlottesville side of things. Should have been in Greenville, folks. Look, also subscribe to the College Football Experience. We've already started. We're just previewing 133 team solo podcast for each and every team in the land. Subscribe to the College Football Experience and check out everything. I mean, we host the USFL gambling podcast, as we alluded to, and we also host the XFL gambling podcast. part of the sports gambling podcast. They're already doing NFL stuff, so check out all of them. We got the CFL, ELF kicking off. Well, ELF already played week one, European League of Football. CFL starts this week, and it's a good time to be alive. Long live football, folks. Give Patty C a follow on Twitter at PattyC831. Give myself a follow on Twitter at TheColbyD. And the USFL Gambling Podcast is on Twitter at USFL Gambling. Give them all a follow. Let's fucking go. And look, until Thursday night, this is the USFL Gambling Podcast. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here. Run, shoot.